This is exactly what I was doing with my daughter. I was blaming her. In my mind, my yelling was justified. I felt, well, I had no other option. I was powerless, out of control. Yelling at her was my only option how to make her do what I wanted. Otherwise, there would have been consequences for me. Yeah? Because I was too tired, running late. I couldn't deal with it anymore because I kept saying things 10 times, expecting a different result. I was turning myself into a victim, kind of to justify the attack at my daughter, blaming her for my lack of emotional control, putting it on her, and therefore it was her fault. I realized I was my daughter's first bully because that's what bullies do, right? Welcome to the Zen Supermom podcast. The episode today is about bullying. How to make sure that you do not become the first bully of your child, so that instead they grow up feeling safe around you, safe to tell you anything, all of their secrets and mistakes, without worrying and being scared how you might react, so that they grow up feeling strong, self-confident, and resistant enough not to become victims of other bullying later on in their lives, bullying or toxic relationships or any kind of like messy, dirty, ugly, dark stuff you went through growing up. Sounds interesting. Sounds like something you might need to look into. Well, then let's go. Hi, Supermom or Superdad. Alena here, your mommy tantrum specialist and the founder of the Zen Supermom system. And me and my team have helped hundreds of moms and dads start setting healthy boundaries with calm. And this is the first parenting podcast that is not about your kids, that shows you why none of the parenting techniques helped you stop yelling at your kids and how to control your emotions from jumping out so that you can be the safe, loving parent you wish you had growing up. This is the Zen Supermom podcast. Hi, Supermom or Superdad. This is Elena, your mommy tantrum specialist and the founder of the Zen Supermom system, where me and my team help you, busy, loving, but yelling parent, stay calm and set healthy boundaries with your children. And today's episode will be about bullying, because this is one of the things, I'm sharing this in the free mommy tantrum trainings that I'm doing for women who come and meet me somewhere online for the first time, and they want to find out, well, how do I stop yelling at my children? None of the parenting techniques are helping. Please, like, tell me the secrets. And during the training, usually one of the most shocking things that I share, I realize from the feedback that I'm getting from the chat, is the moment when I say very openly that I used to be my daughter's first bully. And that kind of shakes people. And I realized it's not something that we talk enough about openly, shamelessly. And like, yes, I still feel guilty and ashamed to admit that. But I feel like it's important to call it what it is. And it's important to talk about it, because as long as we keep blaming it on the kids, that yes, I'm like tired and stressed out, not my fault, but my kid triggered me because they didn't listen and we were being late and they were hitting their sibling and I was afraid they are going to get killed somewhere or get hurt, I had to yell. And that's kind of the standard. It's still the norm. That's how we grew up. Most likely, if you're listening, like, you grew up in a similar environment where parents had the authority and they had the right to yell because they knew better and we didn't know anything. And I'm hearing it still sometimes in some of my assessment calls and in like the conversations throughout that mommy tantrum training, that it is still considered as normal. Like, yeah, every mom yells, right? Like, whose mom doesn't? And we all grew up like this, and look, we are all fine. Yeah. Other than we are not fine. The rise of the number of mental illnesses in this world, all of the attention disorders, ADHDs, and I don't know what's, all of the autoimmune diseases coming from the stress and unhealed childhood trauma, all of the bullying, toxic relationships, environment, crime, war, everything in this world. Like, I don't want to paint, I don't want to go into any gloomy, complaining, nagging things, but let's just call it what it is. We are not fine. And most of the problems that the humanity today has, emotionally and health-wise, physically, you can trace it all back down to childhood pain. Namely, childhood trauma. Even if you're like me, I grew up, thinking back for all of my life, I had an amazing, beautiful childhood. But this is where, and we can link for you the podcast episode about the awareness of generational developmental childhood trauma, which is the drip by drip by drip. You're not good enough. I will yell at you because you don't behave. You don't respect the rules. So I'm entitled to reinforce the rules and boundaries by yelling at you because otherwise you don't listen. Drip by drip. And that's the childhood trauma you grew up with. That's why you still don't feel good enough. That's why you stress out whenever things are becoming too much for you, especially when you have too much work, too many things to do. It's the end of the day and you're exhausted and you just wish they would go to bed and leave you alone and sleep all night through. Or when it's the morning and you're running late and you're like, I need to make you come. Like, I will be late and I will be punished. So now I need to punish you to make sure that I'm not late. You see? So I know I'm preaching to the choir here, because if you're here listening to this podcast, you already understand this is a problem. Okay. And that's why you're here. You're trying to solve it. So first check in the box. Well done. This is why I already know you are an amazing parent. You're a great mom or dad because you care. You want to stop this generational madness, kind of taking a blank card. Yes, I'm allowed to yell because I'm the parent and I have the higher purpose in mind. So I need to teach my kids obedience and respecting rules. And I'm going to do that through scaring them. Yeah, or scaring them by yelling or by bribing them because I don't want to yell. So I'm going to bribe them into obedience. How is that working for you? Yeah, so let's talk about it. Bullying. I realized I was my daughter's first bully because that's what bullies do, right? If you look through any personal experiences with bullies, bullies are usually those who feel so much pain and they feel so not self-confident, like such a lack of self-confidence and lack of power, lack of control over their lives. That's why they decide to take control over somebody else. And because they are in pain, they're like, okay, that pain needs to channel out. So I'm going to just like spread it out. Yeah. Without taking any consideration of the other person and how that sits with them. What that does with them, right? That's what bullying is. Like, super simplified my perception. I'm not like a bullying expert or specialist or anything. This is just my personal view. And I realized this is exactly what I was doing with my daughter. I was blaming her. I was, in my mind, my yelling was justified. I was yelling and I kind of like, at the beginning, of course, I felt, well, I had no other option. I was powerless, out of control. Yelling at her was my only option how to make her do what I wanted. Otherwise, there would have been consequences for me. Yeah. Because I was too tired, running late, I couldn't deal with it anymore because I kept saying things 10 times, expecting a different result. By the way, Einstein's definition of insanity, like, why do you keep repeating things 10 times, expecting a different outcome? If it didn't work 9 times, then like, what do you think is going to be different the 10th time? So of course, you're working yourself up into like frustration, right? But I was doing that to myself. That's the thing I could not see at the moment. That was one of my biggest realizations. I was turning myself into a victim, kind of to justify the attack at my daughter, blaming her for my lack of emotional control, putting it on her, and therefore it was her fault. Yeah. So all that was teaching her that not only she couldn't feel safe around me, because one day if she did something, I was cool, I was okay, I managed to brush it off with a smile and, oh, you're so clumsy, you spilled water or milk or whatever, like, okay, let's clean it up. But if it happened another day when I was more stressed out, which my daughter, like, she couldn't know what I had on my plate, but the same situation, and I would explode, I would lose my patience, I would, like, yeah. So she learned she was not safe around me. What message it was giving her also was that there was something wrong with her. She was not good enough. So I started seeing she was starting to get like perfectionist tendencies. Whenever she was not good enough at something, like learning new skill, doing something new, whenever it was not perfect, it was not as good, as fast as she wished, she was mad at herself. Thank you, mom. Yeah, thank you, me. Because I taught her that by making mad at her, getting mad at her for making mistakes, I taught her it's her fault that she couldn't do it yet. Yeah, it's your fault that you spilled. Why are you doing that? I told you not to do that. Why did you do it? Right? I was making her feel like it was her fault. So then she did take it on her. Like, yeah, I'm not good enough. I need to try better. Because mom is like, this is the message from mom. I'm not doing it well enough, so I need to try harder. Yeah. And the worst thing that was really putting it all together for me, that only I realized only when I started healing and I started digging into my own childhood, was that this, my love, my attention, my energy around her was really highly conditional. I had a list of conditions of things that need to happen in a certain way at a certain times so that I could feel like I'm a loving mom and I was ready to give her a hug, or I was ready to be nice with her. Because if any of those conditions on my list that often had nothing to do with her, if they were not met, I would be still in my head. I was on the floor playing with her, but I was still in my head, not paying attention and exploding or getting triggered or getting like nagging, frustrating or nervous, looking at my clock, like what's the time? If those conditions were not met. So that's definition. That's the opposite of unconditional love, right? It's very conditional love. And I realized that it was heartbreaking for me only once I learned this whole theory about trauma and what it is, that it's not just the shock and abuse and sexual violence, what I thought it was, but I didn't have any of that growing up. I didn't realize that trauma is a spectrum, and that on the other side of that shock trauma is the development of trauma, the drip by drip by drip, little by little, moment by moment, every day giving the message to your child, you're not good enough, not good enough for me, not worthy of my love, try harder, try better. Yeah. This is why I'm saying now, openly, I used to be my daughter's first bully. And I feel like we need to talk about it. I feel we need to call it what it is. I don't mean to make you feel even more guilty about it, but I need you to realize what it is so that you start getting the help. You start learning about how to become a safe parent, how to become unconditionally loving parent. Because unless you do, this is the risk of what I realized where I was running to. The moment your child grows up being bullied by you, they're much more susceptible of being a victim of another attack, of another bully out there. And there are more and more opportunities out there, right? Of people walking around, they are hurt themselves, they are feeling powerless, out of control themselves, and so they are looking for kids like this, who don't have much self-esteem, who are super shy, who are afraid to speak up because they would be punished and not loved. Exactly, victims of bullying, right? It attracts like magnet other predators and other like people who will want to take advantage of that. Yeah, this is why it's so crucial to clean that up. And if you're here listening to this podcast, I would hope that you know it has nothing to do with your kids. Yes, we need to set healthy boundaries. Yes, they need to respect the rules. No, they are not allowed to do whatever, whenever, however they wish. There needs to be some safe container of boundaries. And it is possible to do all of that with calm, respect, which is like, I think this is the most triggering word for the older generation. If I would tell something like this to my dad, he would be like, what? Like, I should respect the kids. Like, the kids need to respect me. This is the old conservative view, right? Like, kid is somebody who's smaller, more stupid, completely clueless about how to get things done. So that's why, like, they need to respect me as the adult, the smarter one, and they need to listen. So what kind of respect? Like, I'm not going to be their friend. Of course, you're a parent. You're not supposed to be a friend. But also, the respect should be mutual so that you instill in your children healthy self-confidence so that they do not just allow any adult later on abuse them in any way. Because they have self-respect. They know nobody's allowed to mess up with them and they have healthy boundaries. They are able to say no. That's what we need, right? So, if you're on the same page, now how? Yeah, great question. How do we do that? Well, that's exactly what this entire podcast is about, right? And everything that we do inside the Zen Supermom program. Want to know why those gentle parenting techniques are not working for you? Where is that uncontrollable anger that you feel with your kids? Where is it coming from? Then download this mini book. I prepared it for you, busy, loving, but yelling supermom or superdad. Because no, it's not about learning more parenting techniques. It's not about doing classic talk therapy. It's not about more self-care time so that you can de-stress. No, there's something deeper going on. It's not even about your kids. So I compiled this mini book out of my most successful 1 hour long live training that I'm doing. I compressed it in just a few pages so that you can learn this, these two keys that you need to be able to stay calm with your kids, no matter how stressed you are, no matter how much they are pushing your boundaries, so that you know what it's going to take for you to stay calm and set healthy boundaries without yelling. Want to know how? Get that mini book now. Let me know if you know any better ways. I'm always looking out, researching on methods so that it's faster and even more effective because time is ticking. Like, the kids are growing up so fast and every day they learn from you the unhealthy way. Like, that's how much more difficult it's going to be. The more time passes, the more difficult it's going to be for you to heal and then help them heal the trauma you gave them, right? So what I know so far... After years of researching, after years of working with other moms in similar situation, I call it momzillas, that we turn from the, I want to be a very nice mom today, I don't want to yell in the morning, like make a wish, and then a few minutes later, momzilla. What I learned over the years is it really goes down to two key techniques. And I shared it also in that mommy tantrum training. One is making sure that your old pain is cleaned up. So doing your own generational developmental trauma healing, making sure that none of that anger, none of your frustration, none of your stress patterns, that it stops jumping up at your kids whenever they push your buttons. And second important thing is the mental fitness practice, because that is about dealing with those trauma coping mechanisms. Anybody here? Hyperachiever, perfectionist, controller, avoider, victim, hyper-rational, hyper-vigilant, constantly scared of what's coming next, yeah, inner critic, yeah, having any of these, recognize those voices in your head. That's why we do mental fitness, because I sometimes get the question, like, why is not trauma therapy enough if what you're telling me it's going all the way back into my childhood with my parents, because that's how they treated me. Well, why it's not enough is because you still have, even after we clean that pain up, you still have those automated emotional habits. Like, I realized I have, and we had the podcast episode about being busy, wearing it as a badge of honor. Like, look how busy I am. I'm doing so much. Well, that was my way of making myself feel good enough. Yeah. Because I grew up feeling like I will never be as perfect as my mom. I will never be as great as my mom. But at least if I showed her how busy, how hardworking I was, that at least got some appreciation and recognition from her. So I could feel better about myself. And I just kept doing that throughout my then entire even adult life. I thought that being busy and hardworking and just showing everybody how willing I am to even kill myself to the detriment of my physical health, that was actually a great quality to have about myself. That at least that will give me some respect from people, no matter how damaged and not good enough and unworthy I felt. That was my facade, my mask behind which I was hiding. Yeah. And that is not going to go away with childhood trauma therapy. That needs some resetting, rewiring, because it became automated pattern. You go to it, you go and start making decisions, and you set your energy, your whole being, from that automated mechanism. So for that, there's some neuroscience at work there. It needs to be reset, because none of us was born this way. Right? You were not born an insecure child. You were not born wanting to please everybody just to feel safe. You were born perfectly capable of expressing your needs whenever they came out. And when they were not met, you were getting louder and louder, letting everybody know, I'm not okay. I'm hungry. I need, I'm feeling something wet on my body and stinky, please change it. You were perfectly capable. And you were feeling free to express yourself. It's just what happened to you then later on in life when you learned, not okay, don't be selfish, and no, you can't, and you have to prove your worth, and you have to deserve being liked, and this is the list of conditions you need to follow. You learned that only later. But it became so ingrained. It became part of your identity. I hear even people, women saying, I'm shy or I'm not self-confident. It's like, no, that's not who you are. That's not who you were born. This is the feature. This is the trauma coping mechanism. This is the result of what happened to you. But that's not who you are. That's not who you have to be for the rest of your life. That's not who you need your kids, who you need to teach your kids to be one day. Because did you realize, did you already notice that your qualities, how you carry yourself, how you look at yourself in the mirror, how you talk about the food that you eat, how you talk about your work, how you talk about money, they are adopting that language without any filters, don't they? It's only later on when they become teenagers when they will start looking at you and pointing fingers. But then, even then, it will be a reaction, counter-reaction to your trauma, not them, not the authentic self-expression of your teenager. It will be just reaction to your trauma that they will either adopt or fight against. But it's not going to be the healthy, resilient, worthy, that's who I am, authentically, right? So this is why I'm here. I'm not here to convince all the world, please do therapy because it's going to help you and the next generations. I know I can't because not everybody is ready to hear that message. And that's okay. But I'm here to talk to you if you understand. And if you have had enough. You have had enough of that pain. You have had enough of you being the bully of your kid. And you're desperately looking for help and something that's going to work, finally, because nothing else worked so far. Well, then I want to talk to you. Okay. And if you want to go further than just listening to podcasts, then reach out. You have my contact details and everything everywhere. And I love hearing from the listeners of the podcast because you are the reason why I'm here. You're the reason why I'm doing this work. Yeah. That's why I'm capable of openly talking about all the shameful moments that I had as a mom, because if it helps only one person to stop doing it and start healing yourself and your kids as soon as possible, if only one gets this message, then it was worth it. That's why I'm here. So I know this was probably not an easy thing to hear, this episode today. It might have made you quite emotional, so give yourself some compassion. The good news is that you are aware. You're not sleepwalking. You're not blaming it on your kids. You are looking for solutions. You are dedicating your precious time and energy in finding a way. So that already tells me you are a great parent. So just keep going. Take that next step if you feel you're ready for it. And let us help you. I wish you a great day. I look forward to hearing from you. And I will see you the next time. Bye. Thank you.